Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, presenting a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that we like to say no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We've had a busy few weeks since our last podcast, including a brief government shutdown, and another one poised to happen in another couple of weeks. For anyone who might need government shutdown-related counsel and advice, please feel free to reach out to us or whomever your normal contact is. We're following it pretty closely. Shutdowns can be sort of frightening events for contractors and for government employees, too. I personally had to live through it in 2013 as a government employee, and it was nerve-wracking then, and we sort of feel your pain now with it as well. Anyway, moving on to the news. In cloud computing news, the Deputy Secretary of Defense issued an edict to accelerate enterprise cloud adoption within DoD through a multi-phase approach. The first phase, which is going to move the focus from AT&L to the Deputy Chief Management Officer, will focus on adoption of commercial technologies in cloud computing. And then it's going to move beyond that to focused adoption of cloud computing for specific DoD needs.
In the NDAA news, there is a new report out from Congressional Research Services, which talks about some of the trends in the NDAA over the last few years, particularly 2016 to 2018. One of the things we've seen over the years is that there are a lot of nuggets inside the NDAA that are of a lot of interest to contractors. This report is a great read for those of you that are interested in how that process is working, where things have been put within the NDAA, so we would suggest that as a great resource for you.
Definitely. So we had an interesting issue. This comes out every couple of, twice a year, I guess, right? The semi-annual regulatory agenda. And it's a great way to look into sort of the crystal ball about what might come up in the future. Peter, did you want to cover DoD and maybe I'll kick off with GSA?
That's perfect. So there are a couple of really interesting things that we're keeping an eye on. So the regulatory agenda really is sort of a forecast of things that may be on the radar screen. The exact timing is a little bit hard to predict, but there are really four items that we think are of note for contractors. The first has to do with whistleblower protections for contractor employees. There has been a pilot program underway. There is a rule that's in the works to make that permanent, certainly something to keep an eye on. Second has to do with a rule relating to how breaches involving PII need to be addressed from a handling disclosure standpoint. That's certainly one to watch, part of a much larger trend of rules involving protection of PII and what to do if there is in fact a breach. Relatedly, a rule having to do with controlled unclassified information, how that information has to be stored, held, transmitted, disposed of. Again, one to watch. And then finally, a rule in the works about under GSA schedule contracts, how the government has to make a determination that pricing is fair and reasonable. Again, a topic that's got a lot of discussion over the years. Another one seems to be in the work. So that's really what we're watching on the DoD side and some of the other agencies. David, do you want to talk about GSA and what we're seeing in the works on GSAR?
Yeah, we've got a warning that pretty soon GSA is going to issue a final rule to amend the GSAR, and in classic GSA fashion, in alphabet soup style, they're going to clarify the authority to acquire order-level materials when placing a task order or establishing a BPA against an FSS. Bottom line, it's an important procedural update given the flow through and how much is acquired using these types of contracts and vehicles. On information and information system security, no surprise, this has been high level in the news and on everyone's radar screen. Mid-year, late spring probably, GSA is saying it's going to issue a proposed rule requiring contracting officers to incorporate applicable GSA cybersecurity requirements into statements of work, and for all the reasons you see it across the rest of the government, a contractual requirement to do what's front of everybody's mind, safeguard information, protect systems, and the like. And there will be another proposed rule, we're told, to establish a time frame for GSA contractors specifically to report cyber incidents. And it may well follow what's already in the works elsewhere in the government, but definitely one to keep an eye out for, given all the steps that have gone into compliance with basic safeguarding and these other requirements, just another step in the continuing evolution of federal cybersecurity requirements. Moving on, changing gears a bit into False Claims Act and Escobar news, Middle District of Florida vacated a $347 million judgment against a nursing home operator on Escobar grounds. And the key thing here is the court found materiality wasn't present because the government paid and continued to pay the invoices, leading up to the conclusion, well, how big of a deal could it have been if you continued to pay, notwithstanding the allegations of misconduct? This one, along with all the other continuing Escobar decisions, but this one in particular, I think merits watching just because of the clarity and the way this is expressed. The payment and continue to pay. You know, the government's always slow to detect these things. The acquisition chain is even slower to stop problems. And as case law mounts that says, well, you let it go and continue to pay, it presents new opportunities for companies at least facing allegations of False Claims Act violations.
Well, and I think that's exactly right. This is one that bears a lot of attention, not only in the False Claims Act litigation context, but also as you think about how to apply the mandatory disclosure rule.
Yeah.
Thinking about what credible evidence looks like, what elements have been met. This is a case that's really important for materiality as you think about that analysis. So pivoting to one final topic, there is a provision in the 2018 NDAA section 1045, which is called Prohibition on Lobbying Activities with Respect to DOD by Certain Officers of the Armed Forces and Civilian Employees of the Department, and then it goes on from there. It's a mouthful. But here's what you need to know, and there are a lot of little details that we won't get into here, but in essence, this provision within the NDAA stands for the proposition that if you are a senior official within DOD and you leave to go to the private sector, there are restrictions on lobbying back to DOD, and there are certain restrictions on some behind-the-scenes activities that are in furtherance of lobbying activities. That's really the take-home. In some ways, it's very similar to existing rules and the Trump executive order and parts of the Obama executive order, but there are also some new elements there as well, some new restrictions, and of course, it's statutory instead of contractual or regulatory. One bears watching, certainly, and also it's an area that's going to lend itself to training, particularly those that are going to be in a government-facing or lobbying capacity, and those that may be supporting them. So that's certainly one that bears some watching, likely a topic of training policy amendments for onboarding and employees that play in that space.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is a sea change, especially given the march forward with the executive orders. I think it just merges together two what used to be distinct areas of the law, right? Political law, lobby law, yeah, and government contracts law. It was pretty much a safe phrase that behind-the-scenes action is okay, right? For post-government employment, that's not really the case here. It applies at the general officer or senior executive service tier and above. There are certain differences in restrictions, but I agree, it really is just a training issue more than any sort of sea change or anything like that.
Yeah, and I would add to that, it's the only other place where I think it really plays a role is if you are thinking about hiring someone for a particular function. There is a question in light of this new provision, are there changes in what they're going to be able to do that may change that proposition in the first instance? But in general, it's one that bears watching and thinking about how to make sure people are trained and understand it. So I think that's a good place to end. And David, I'll turn it over to you to close out.
Great. Well, that was it for our podcast. We will see you again in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, please feel free to call me, 202-624-2627, or Peter, 202-624-2807, and have a great week.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.